Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
What's up, VBF? I don't know if, can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, I don't know what it is, but foreign commercials are so much better than ours. That was a Nike commercial. I don't know from what country, but I just love that. And we're talking about being selfless tonight, and I think that's a good segue from Shane's announcement about our serve day on Saturday. I'm really excited about this because this will be our first serve day for the Thousand Oaks campus as well. So as you guys are serving your city in Bakersfield, we're going to be serving our city in Thousand Oaks, and so we'll be serving our cities together. Isn't that cool? Yeah, well, at least I think so, and three of you, all right? I want to say hello to all of you watching from our Northwest campus over there on Coffee Road. What's up? And anybody that is watching online, we are so glad to have you tonight. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I've just got to tell you, I felt a little nudge tonight that we are supposed to text a friend. And some of you have never done this before, and we haven't done it in a little while, but every once in a while, what we'll do is before we get into Bible study, we're going to take a moment and we're going to encourage somebody in our life. Somebody that's not here, maybe they're here, maybe you just don't know they're here, maybe they're sitting on the other side of the sanctuary, but we're going to text somebody. Now, I have a scripture that God laid on my heart that I'm going to put up on the screen, and then what you can do is you can figure out if that is a scripture that you're supposed to send your friend, or maybe there's something else that you're supposed to send them. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to give you somebody to text. And what's going to happen is you're going to immediately think of a person as soon as I pray. A name or a face is going to pop in your mind. Now, we're going to be childlike tonight, and we're going to believe that the first person that comes to our mind, the first name that we see, the first face that we see, we're going to believe by faith that that is the person that God wants us to reach out to tonight and encourage. Are you guys with me? Okay, so maybe it's going to be a couple of you or maybe a couple of friends, but I'm going to believe that at least one person in your contacts is going to be ministered to by you tonight. So let me pray this. Father, I thank you, God, as we get in your word tonight. Thank you for how you've already kind of started processing things in us as we were worshiping, as we were singing these songs as declarations and as mantras for our life. And tonight, God, we put our attention towards people that are in our life, God, maybe family, friends, coworkers, other church friends. I pray, God, right now that you would cause somebody to come to our mind, cause somebody to come into our thinking that needs some encouragement, God. Maybe somebody tonight that's super depressed, maybe somebody that is just completely in a dark place. I pray you would cause us to think of them. And Lord, I pray that this word, this scripture would change them, Lord, that it would transform them, and that God, you would use it, Lord, to bring them life tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let me put that scripture up. Isaiah 43 verse 19, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That's a good idea to take a picture and send it to them. But maybe that's a scripture for that person, or maybe there's another verse that you want to send to them. But just right now, text a friend, all right? Just go ahead and text them. And if you're watching online, you could do this too. Just play at home, all right? Play at Northwest Campus. Just text a friend. And while you guys are doing that, how many, just curious here, how many of you needed that scripture tonight? How many of you needed it? All right. Well, praise God. All right. So there you go. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to be at. I want to give you a scripture before we get into that. In James chapter 4, verse 1, and this really goes with the whole selfless theme that we're going to be climbing into tonight. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Aren't they caused by the selfish desires that fight to control you?" How many of you would admit that you have selfish problems? How many of you would be humble enough to admit that? See, I commend you. There's a lot of people raising their hand. I commend you. Because most of the time, we can't see selfishness in our own lives. Here's the second question. How many of you know somebody in your life that's pretty selfish? There's a lot more hands that are going to go up. So here's the reality. We can see selfishness in other people a lot more clearly than we can see selfishness in ourselves. But how do you know that there's selfishness in your life? Well, James says is a big identifier that maybe you struggle with selfishness more than you realize is that there's a lot of quarrels and arguments in the relationships that are in your life. I'm not blaming your selfishness on every argument because, as I like to say, it takes two to tango. So a lot of times those quarrels and fights are among us because there's two parties involved that are both being a little bit self-centered or self-absorbed. And I really believe with all my heart that as we pursue God and as Jesus continues to change our life, one of the biggest elements of our life that is going to be challenged and that God is going to just chisel away at us, and that is our selfishness. And I believe that the more selfless we become, not only are we more pleasing to God, but I believe more satisfied we're going to be in life. Now, studies continue to show us this, that in the age of social media, that we are at an all-time high for being self-absorbed. Some of you were coming unglued today because Facebook and Instagram crashed. How many know that it did not work right today? How many of you know that? Okay. So it didn't quite work right. And part of the issue that we're having is we want to broadcast everything that's going on in our life. And a lot of people are like, well, we're becoming self-absorbed because of social media. But I really don't think it's that way. I think that the reason social media is such a big part of our life is we are already are self-absorbed, and it's just now an outlet for us to get our self-centeredness out there, right? Look at me, woo, right? I was reading this this week. There was a guy that was writing an article just how like people are just so self-absorbed. He says, "I watched a guy at a concert, and instead of watching the concert, this guy just kept turning around, and so the band would be behind him, and he's like, hey, and he's like, I was like, dude, the band is right there, but he was so obsessed with getting himself in the picture with the band so he could show all of his friends. Now, I'm not saying that social media is causing us to be self-absorbed. I think we already have the issue. It's feeding that. But here's what I want to tell you, that I believe there's a direct link between how self-absorbed we are and how depressed we are. That the more self-absorbed we are in life, really the less satisfied we're going to be with our lives. Because God has hardwired us to be about other people. And when we're ignoring that, when we're focused on ourselves, we're not going to be very content and very satisfied with our lives. And so what James is saying here is check yourself, that a lot of the issues, a lot of the quarrels, a lot of the fights that are in our life is because there is a sickness inside of us that's called selfishness. Now, Luke chapter 12, I want to get into this because what we're going to see tonight is that as we learn to look at our life as a story that is written for another person, we're going to start experiencing a whole different kind of life. And in Luke chapter 12, let's pick up at verse 13. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware, be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my abundance of crops?' And he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" I love this particular passage because what does it mean to be rich toward God? Because Jesus kind of threw it out there and compared being rich toward God with the guy that was very self-centered and all about his own wealth and in collecting his own stuff. And this all came out of a conversation that these two guys were having on who was going to get the money. And Jesus said, really, if you want to experience real life, then you got to move beyond your possessions, because once you die, you can't take any of this stuff with you. I've said this before, but I've never seen a hearse hauling a U-Haul behind it of all the stuff. But why? Because you can't carry it. You can't take it with you. You can certainly try to bury it with your body, but it's not going to go with you. And so Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be really rich, then you need to start learning what wealth looks like in God's kingdom. And wealth in God's kingdom does not look like possessing things here. Wealth in God's kingdom looks like helping other people. And that when you start investing in people's lives, you are actually investing in the wealth for your future. That your inheritance is not in this world. As a follower of Jesus, your inheritance is in the world to come. In other words, you are now positioning yourself for the life after this life. And I like how one author put it. He said, what we're doing right now, this is like the pre-show to the real show, which is going to start the day we take our last breath on earth. And as a follower of Jesus, your last breath on earth is your first breath in heaven. And so everything in your life ought to be leveraged now for that moment and for that. Because, I mean, does it make any sense? If you're talking investment here, does it make any sense to invest in, I don't know, 80 years, where you're going to be like, yeah, you know, I'm all about, you know, these 80 years, I'm going to invest wisely? Or does it make more sense to invest in a billion years? Because eternity, even though it's not a billion years, it goes on forever, but just throwing some numbers out to you, a billion, you can't even compare 80 years to a billion years. Can't even do it. If you were to take a tape measure or a ruler out and just say, you know, this is a billion years, 80 years on that ruler would just be not even visible. But yet think of how much of our life we're leveraging on this life versus the life to come. God says, I want you to practice being rich toward God, towards the kingdom of God. And the way you do that is you invest in other people. Now, part of the way that you show that you're understanding what Jesus has done for you is that you start becoming like Jesus. Do you know that? And you're never more like Jesus than when you're giving and when you're serving. Did you know that? That when you're giving and when you're serving, you are the most like Jesus, because his life was about giving and his life was about serving. Think about the most famous Bible verse that we have in our Bibles, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what, church? That he gave. That God is a giving God and Jesus is a giving Savior. And so as Jesus has more and more influence in your life, you are going to become more and more of a giver and less about yourself. That's just going to be the natural evolution of your life in Christ. We see this really demonstrated. John writes this letter that Pastor Ron's been talking about on Wednesdays. He just talked about it last week. But in 1 John chapter 3, or I'm sorry. Yeah, we can go to 2 Corinthians. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. I like how the New Living Translation reads it. It says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So God is making you rich so that you can be generous towards other people. Now, when it says rich there, it's again talking about a different kind of rich. You know, we're not one of those kind of churches, you know, that the more godly you are, the more wealthy you are, that we're not one of those churches. But let's just be real for a minute. As you give your life over to Christ and let him continue to build you up and to lead your life, you're going to be blessed. Doesn't always translate into financial blessing, but you know what? There is something on your life when Christ is ruling your life that other people want. There's something about you. You're shiny. You're attractive, and people want that. And the reason that God is pouring himself over you like this and giving you that sustaining power is because you're supposed to then give it away to other people. So as God is pouring into your life, then you become a cup and you start pouring in other people's life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the other 3:16, it says, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You guys have that up there. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Isn't that strong? This Saturday, you guys have an opportunity to put this into action, that you get to give up a Saturday half day, really. It's not even a whole day, but a half day to make it all about other people besides yourself. And some of you have never done that before. And by doing so, you're going to actually start experiencing the life that Christ wants you to experience every day. But how you start experiencing that is you start realizing that, you know what? Christ gave up everything for me so that in return, I could start giving up things in my life for other people. And how do you know you understand what Christ did for you? Because you will start becoming more generous. Not because the preacher told you to do so, not because, you know, some person tried to strong arm you and say, you need to be more generous, because you will naturally start feeling the Holy Spirit leading you to become more and more generous and less about self. Zacchaeus is probably the poster child example in the Bible of a guy that really understood what Jesus was giving him. In Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus was waiting for Jesus just to see him, but Jesus stopped in his little route that he was doing, and he saw Zacchaeus in the tree. He was like, hey, come down here, because tonight we have dinner with you. So Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house to have dinner with him, and in doing so, Zacchaeus receives this invitation that Jesus gave himself to come over his house, and he's like, man, Jesus is coming to my house. And naturally, not because somebody told him, naturally, Zacchaeus, because he was the chief tax collector, started thinking about all the people he had cheated in his business and started really being convicted about how greedy his life has been. So when he put himself into the presence of the most generous human being that has ever stepped foot on this planet, the natural response that Zacchaeus gave was to become generous himself. Because as you absorb the generosity of Jesus, you will start pouring out the generosity of Jesus with the people that are around your life. That's how it works, church. And look what it says here. Zacchaeus, he said, but Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Church, we see this organically happen at the introduction of the Holy Spirit to the apostles in Acts chapter 2. These guys were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, something organically just happened. They began looking at each other's needs and said, I have excess in my life. And so I'm going to take my excess and I'm actually going to use it to help you in the need that you have. They were living in such community together that they had no needs in their whole family togetherness as a church. They just had no needs. Acts chapter 2 verse 45, and it says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Now you could see where somebody could get in there and start abusing that and start taking advantage of good-hearted people. But this is the very start of the church. This wasn't a sermon that somebody gave. This wasn't a Bible verse that they read somewhere. The Holy Spirit got a hold of their hearts completely, and their natural disposition was, what can we do to help other people out that are in our lives that have needs? I don't know if God is challenging you in this area of your life, but I think of this man that he had all this excess in the parable, going back to Luke chapter 12. He had this excess. And his first response was, hey, I need to build bigger barns, man. Like, whoa, look at this blessing. So that, man, I can actually live in comfort, more comfort than I already was. See, he had a worldly mindset. He had a very self-absorbed mindset, like all of this extra was given to me so that it could bless my life. But Jesus turns this around and said, no, God is giving you a blessing so that you can then become a blessing to somebody else that has a need in their life. In other words, your excess is somebody else's answer to their prayer. And the reason we're not seeing this is because we're not living in this place of being really filled with the Spirit and attentive to the fact that Jesus is after us dying to ourselves so that we could more fully live for God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to give you a lot of verses tonight. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be what, church? To be generous, ready to share. Next verse. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. So there's something about when you start sharing what you have with other people, there's something that translates beyond this life, and it actually starts moving heaven for your life, and it actually starts allowing you to experience real life. Now, there's a difference of heavenly life and real life, I should just say earthly life. Heavenly life in the Greek is called Zoe. It's a life that is eternal. It's a life that is beyond this world. And so what Paul is telling Timothy is, if you want to start experiencing more Zoe life, more heavenly filled life, then you must start leveraging your life in helping other people. And the more you're leveraging your life to help other people, the more heaven is going to move for your life. Can I give you a proverb just to kind of echo what I just said? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. I like how, I believe this is a New Living Translation, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Can I give you another proverb? Are you still with me? Proverb 22, verse 9. He who is generous will be what, church? Will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Who are the poor? People that have need. People that have not. And so as you step out of your excess and start helping these people that don't have something, then God says, hey, I'll take care of you. See, one of the biggest shifts in my life when it came to biblical truth was understanding that everything I had was God's. That the Bible calls us stewardship. And it's easy to start kind of looking, and I listened to Pastor Ron's message from a couple of weeks ago when he talked about giving. And it's interesting as we start talking about giving and we start kind of compartmentalizing what we have and say, this belongs to God, this belongs to me. But really, when you started following Jesus, what you did is you laid everything out to him and said, everything that I am now belongs to you. And Pastor Ron talked about that. So it's not about a 10%, 90% kind of thing, like, hey, God gets 10% of the split, you know, I get that. You know, it's none of that. Because really what it is that everything that we have now belongs to God, and now we're simply the manager of God's stuff. It really is, it's a shift in how we think. Because in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus goes in and he starts telling another parable, and he starts telling this parable about this man that was given 5 talents, another man that was given 3 talents, and another man given 1 talent. In other words, he was given a sum of money and said, hey, go invest this. And the owner walks away and entrusts these guys with these different talents. And then the owner comes back and says, what'd you do with them? And in this parable, Jesus said the guy with 5 invested and got 5 more. The guy that had 3 invested and got 3 more. And the guy that invested 1 was so scared of the 1 and losing it that he decided to bury it. And in this parable, Jesus rebukes the 1 that never went out and did anything with the 1 talent. In other words, that was never your talent. You were just a caretaker, and I asked you to do something with that thing that I gave you. And because he didn't do anything with it, he got cursed. He was kind of thrown out of the inner circle. He's saying, hey, you don't even get to be in the party anymore. And they're like, wow, Jesus, that's kind of a harsh thing there. And I think it's a sobering reality to know that God has entrusted you with stuff. He's entrusted me with stuff. But it's not our stuff. And when you start seeing your stuff as God's stuff, not only are you going to take better care of it, but it's going to be a lot easier to be generous towards other people. Why? Because it's not yours to begin with. It's not yours to begin with. The first time I saw this principle lived out, I was a pastor here at this church, and it was after a service, and somebody came up and they gave me $100. And they said, Pastor, this $100, we just felt like we're supposed to give this to you, and that somebody in this church is going to need this $100, and you're going to know who to give it to. And I said, okay, I prayed about it. I think the Lord's telling you to give it to me. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I really took it seriously. I was like, whoa, okay. Then it became like Mission Impossible. Like, Lord, who's going to be the winner? Who's going to be the one that gets $100? And so I was super sensitive, and I couldn't wait to give that $100 away. And I couldn't wait for God to confirm who it was that I was supposed to give the $100 to. And I was praying with this couple after the last service, and they're telling me of this financial issue they were going through. And it's like the Holy Spirit's like, ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner, right here. This is the one. And I was like, oh, wow. And I couldn't wait to reveal the God story to these people and what had happened earlier. And so I was like, man, you guys will never guess this. I've been praying since the first service. I had this $100 and I was supposed to give it to somebody. They entrusted me to give this $100 to somebody that had a need. And they said, I will know who has a need. And here you guys come up for prayer, and voila, here's $100 that God wants to give you and tell you that you can trust him with your lives, because he's here to meet your needs. And now, church, let me tell you, it wasn't difficult to give that $100 away to that couple. Why? Because I knew it wasn't mine. Now, just because you have to dig into your wallet or your prayers and get out this money or this checkbook or this credit card, whatever, that doesn't mean that that's yours. That we've made a decision that we want to leverage everything in our life for God's kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to ask you to empty your bank account and give it all away to the poor. But when you have this mentality that what you have is really God's and that you are supposed to be a good steward with God, with what God has entrusted you with to manage, then you're going to be a lot more careful how you spend that money. And you're also, it's going to be a lot easier to be generous when God nudges you and says, I want you to give the church this, or I want you to give that family this, or I want you to go give that other organization this. Why? Because you're going, well, it's not mine and it's God's, and God told me to do it. And so I'm going to do this because right now I'm God's financial manager of this money that he's entrusted me. See here's what you need to realize. You can't outgive God. Because whatever you give out, God's saying, hey, I'm coming back and I'm not forgetting this, and I'm going to give you back whatever it is that you give out. And that's so counterintuitive. Like, what do you mean? Like, so I give out and then God gives me back? Yeah, that's not why we give, but God just saying, hey, I want you to trust me so much in this area of your life that every time you show generosity, I got your back. Because I am your provider. That money in your pocket, that's not your provider. That job, that's not your provider. That all of your investment, your 401ks and your stock market, that's not your provider. I am God. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that provides for you. Don't ever mistake that money in your bank account as the thing that is providing for you and your family. Because God loves to go out of his way to show you that he is your true provider. And the way he best shows it to you is when you start becoming generous yourself in your own life. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says this, if I can jump around my notes, guys, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So as you begin to give more, you will also begin to self less. And by giving more, you've positioned yourself to also receive more from God. Again, that's not our motivation, but that sure is a great side effect. That's a great byproduct of saying, hey, God's like, hey, be generous with me and my kingdom, and I will be generous with you in your life. Job 41 verse 1 says, everything under heaven is mine. Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all the people belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6 says, even our bodies belong to God. You're just a steward of all of these things that are in your life. They don't really belong to you. You know, somewhere on your body, somewhere on your stuff, there's an owner tag and it says belongs to God. And I think that the more that we can have that revelation, again, we'll be more careful with the things that we have. We'll be, you know, there's a word for somebody here tonight. Your body is not your own, it belongs to God. So be a better steward with that body. I don't know if that word for you is sexually. I don't know if that word is for you with your health and what you're consuming, your diet, but there's a strong word right now. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit give me this word for somebody here tonight. Your body is not your own, that it belongs to God. So take care of it because that's his place. That's his. It belongs to him. So what does giving do? Well, giving, number one, as Pastor Ron talked to you guys about 2 weeks ago, giving gives you God stories. It's true. That as you measure out to people's needs as you measure out and give to the church, and so the church can further their ministries and do more and more things that we're doing to change our city and literally change our world, then what happens is you start seeing God show up for you financially. And you start having God stories. You know, when Tara and I started this new campus, it was a really weird space for us because we didn't know what that would mean and how that would translate for Bakersfield and Vegas and Valley Bible. But we definitely wanted it to be a part of what God was doing in Bakersfield and Vegas. And so we wanted to be part of this thing. But at the same time, we felt like God was saying, you're supposed to do it on your own. This is supposed to be an independent campus, and I didn't really know how to handle that. And so, you know, we prayed over it, and we pursued it, and we said, we just feel like we're supposed to do it. But we didn't have any money to do a new church. We didn't know what that would look like. And we had a couple of people that were looking at maybe investing and doing some things, and they kind of fell through. And I was really super discouraged. I was like, man, I felt like the Lord was saying to do this. And then as I was praying over it and kind of getting concerned about it one morning in my devotions, I just felt like the Lord said, trust me. And if you really believe in me, then ante up yourself. You empty your bank account and you go all in for this church. If you really believe that I'm in this campus, then you go all in, empty your bank account. I was like, wow, I hope I'm hearing God. Because can you imagine that conversation with my wife after prayer? Like, hey, babe, I feel like the Lord is like, hey, he's told us that these other resources aren't there because he wants us to go all in. And I felt it, and I told her, and she's like, man, what does that look like? And I go, I don't know. It looks like we're going to be living by faith, man. That's what that looks like. I'm not even kidding you. I came to church, and I preached just like I'm preaching right now. I preached on a Wednesday night, and I was hanging out afterwards, and I had a guy come up to me, and he said, hey, are you all in? And I said, yeah, I'm all in, man. I've given my life to Christ years ago. Of course, man. What do you mean by are you all in? And he just looked at me, and he said, if you're all in, God's all in. And I go, what? Like, what do you mean by that? If you're all in, God's all in. I go, what? Are you giving me a fortune cookie? Like, what does this mean? I really want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. He said, I feel like God's given me a word for you that if you're all in financially, God's all in, and he's going to provide everything that you need for your church. And I got a little teary-eyed because that's exactly what God spoke to me in my devotions. Church, I want to tell you, that was months ago before we really even knew how many people would be coming to our campus. We now have over 200 people a part of our new campus. Every bill that we've had has been paid for. We even have money in our bank account. I mean, we have no needs in this new campus, even though just, you know, 7 months ago, this wasn't even a church. And yet God is meeting our needs exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ask or imagine. Why? Because God gave me a word that says, if you're all in, then I'll be all in. Let me give you that same word tonight, church. If you're all in, God's all in. And I really believe that's not just a word for Pastor Jim. That's a word for all of us, because that's the way the kingdom of God works. When you take care of God's kingdom will take care of you. I'm preaching right now, man. I don't know how I'm going to sit down, but I'm going to. We got to finish up here. But giving gives you God stories. Some of you are like, I don't have God moving in my life. Hey, be generous. It's the number one God story that I have from people. I've had more God stories when it comes to people being generous than any other category of God stories. It's always like, hey, we had our, you know, the last $3 and we gave it in the offering, and then somebody randomly gave us $300, or we got this check from our escrow account. We had, you know, surplus we didn't even know about. I mean, I have more of those stories on my own life and other people's lives than any other category of miracles that I've witnessed as a pastor. What does that tell me? It tells me that God says, hey, there's a reason I said, test me in this. Test me. Because God loves to go out of his way to show you that he is really your provider. Because as you entrust him with your finances, here's the reality. If he can really prove his trust with you with your finances, then he'll earn your trust with every other area of your life. If you think about it, why? Because finances for most of us in this room are the biggest deal of our lives. Some of you, you struggle over finances more than relationships, more than your health, everything. Everything revolves around finances. And that's why Pastor Ron said it a couple weeks ago, it's the last thing that a lot of us are willing to give up for God's kingdom. But it's the very first thing that God loves to go out of his way and give you God's story for. Number two is giving gives you blessing. I can spend some time on that. We already covered one verse, but there's study after study that shows that people that are generous have lower blood pressure and are less stressed out. Because a generous spirit actually creates more peace in your soul. Isn't that interesting? Some of you are medically a mess, and a part of it possibly could be the fact that you're a little selfish. And then as you learn how to give it over to God and become more generous, there's possibly some reversal of some of these negative health things that have been popping up in your life. Researchers suggest that one reason giving may improve physical health and longevity is that it helps decrease stress, which is associated with a variety of health problems. In a 2006 study by Rachel Pifferi of Johns Hopkins University and Kathleen Lawyer of the University of Tennessee, people who provided social support to others had lower blood pressure than participants who didn't, suggesting a direct physiological benefit to those who give of themselves. I can go on that, but number three, just for time, giving gives you a changed heart. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So as you learn to be generous, as you learn to give and give more from your life, and we're not just talking finances, church. We're talking, I like to call it the three T's, your time, your talent, and your treasure. I know the church, we spent some time talking about treasure, but let's talk about your time and your talent. Because the more that you're sowing in to the kingdom of God by being generous with these three T's in your life, then the more God is getting your heart. The more you're leveraging your life for God's kingdom, the more God's kingdom has taken over your heart. This is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you're doing these things for God's kingdom, then God's kingdom starts transforming your life and doing something just powerful for your life. I just want to end with this video, and I want to get you guys out of here, but just showing you the power of generosity and what it can do for your life. Watch this. I love that video. See, one generous act can actually change somebody's life, but that very same generous act can turn around and actually change your life. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you, God, that as we give more, Lord, we self less. And help us in this, God, even maybe practicing this Saturday as we step out in the serve day to practice what it looks like to give more of ourselves to people that are in need. God, help us to trust you. That, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides for us. In every area of our life, God, may we be good stewards with everything that you've entrusted us to manage on this side of heaven. And God, my prayer here is everybody experiences the Zoe life, that heaven-filled life, God. And while everyone is praying, maybe asking God how you are to use this message tonight to change maybe an aspect of your life. Some of you are far from God tonight, and it's not by accident that you're here, that God wants to do something so powerful in and through your life, but you have to simply come to a place where you say, Jesus, I want to surrender everything in my life to you. And if you're at the Northwest campus, I'll turn it over to the leadership over there. But for here, those of you that are in the auditorium right now, if you are far from God and you know that God is calling you into a relationship with him and you want to surrender your life, you want Jesus to come and fill you with his Holy Spirit, then right where you're sitting, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? Because I know this is what I need to do. I know I'm far from God and I want Jesus to lead my life. Anyone at all, just raise it up. God bless you guys. Just keep your hand raised. And our leaders will find you and they'll pray for you afterwards. But even if you're here tonight, you're already following Jesus, but maybe there's some difficulties in your life. After service, come up here. And we'd love to pray for you, lay hands on you and pray for you on anything that you're going through. But God, for these that raise their hand tonight, I pray for them that your Holy Spirit would come to them, that fill them up. God, change them from the inside out as they now belong to you. And we thank you, God, for the gift of salvation and for the Zoe life that you have. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you guys. If you need prayer for whatever reason, we're up front here for you. Other than that, high five your neighbor, all right?
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.